Wasn't that wonderful to have all the extra special Christmas stuff we got? If you guys could just give everyone a hand that took part in all this. Man, oh man. Jerry, thank you so much. The Sovereigns for lighting our final Advent candle this morning. So thank you all very much. Having them all with us, that was really awesome. And last week, I did not thank Ozzy and Sharon, and they're not here. They'll have to look at this online. Last week was just crazy behind the scenes. When I opened my tablet, I was in my safe spot. And when we got to the sermon time, and I just went, shh. So I knew what I had written, and so I had forgotten to thank Ozzy and Sharon. So thank you, Ozzy and Sharon, if you're watching online. Thank you so much. It was so nice to have all the families that helped us out with our Advent candles this year, so thank you all. Last week we had some craziness. We had some sound issues. The drums were doing something totally crazy, and I've sat behind there, and I flipped the same switch, and it went nuts. And so we spent a lot of time trying to get that taken care of, and then that we had other things that took up some time. And so when we got around to the service, it was just crazy. I'm glad I got here early that day, because normally I like to look at the sermon a little bit before this time, and I did not have that time yesterday. So I was both excited and nervous about debuting a song that had been unshared for 18 years. It was well rehearsed and ready. When I listened to the playback, I was pleased. However, unconnected to the drum issue, our speaker was unplugged. So this side of the room kind of got a 3-minute piano solo. This side of the room, I got some compliments from. So I thought this would be a good opportunity. I talked to some people through the last few weeks about our services online. So I wanted to give you guys kind of a little tutorial about what is online. So if we'll go on to this next one. So if you go online at miamitowncc.com, this is what you'll see on the front page. It's right there in your bulletin, and you can catch up on all the stuff we've got here. So we have our sermons. If you go to the sermon tab, you'd be able to get to 2022 sermons, soon to be 2023, and then all the archive sermons we have almost back to when I first started. And then we've also got our services. Our Sunday services are separate from the sermons. That way, if someone wants to listen to a sermon series, they can get the sermons by themselves. So our worship services are separate. I had someone that they were interested about the special music, and I sent them to our website, and they said, it started at the sermon. It cut off all the worship. And I said, well, they're separate. So I was like, you know what? It might not be a bad idea to give a little tutorial on that. So if you go to our Sunday services down to recorded worship services, this is a page that you'll get when you get there. And then you can just click on those different services. And for our Advent series, I've added timestamps. So if you click on that, then you go to, and you can see the timestamp. So if you are wanting to share, if you're one of the families that did the Advent candle and you're wanting to share with some family members, hey, here's what our family did. And then that timestamp is there. We had a handful of people that were asking about the fishhook video. And it's not separate from, it's included in the service. So if you guys go there, it's got the timestamp there. And if you were on this side of the church, the recording of last week's special turned out okay. And so that's on the December 18th. And we have the timestamps there as well. So in addition to that, to make it even more easier to navigate, on the front page of our website, I've added these two little quick links to get to the library of sermons and past worship experiences or services, so that hopefully people can join us there who aren't able to make it due to weather, different things going on there, or if you'd just like to share things that we've been involved in here with people that are not local, they can get all of that there. And so just thought that would be a nice thing. I've had a handful of different people asking about that, especially during this Advent series, so I thought that would be something to be able to give to you guys, a little bit of a tutorial walkthrough through that. So we are in our fourth and our final week of the Advent series. Our pink candle has been lit, and they're short, so I guess I don't need my timer. I can just go by the candles. so we are looking, what we've been doing in this Advent series, we've been looking at the four angel visits, angelic visits that happened centered around the birth of Christ. Let me drop that down. That's my peripheral. So we've been looking at these four visits. We looked at the visit of the angel and then the angels with the shepherds. And so that kind of happened here at the birth of Christ. And then we went all the way back here to, well, Joseph would have been here. And then we went all the way back last week to Zechariah and the angel visit to Zechariah announcing the birth of John the Baptist. And so that was in Luke right before the text that we're looking at today, which takes us right to Mary, which fits with our special music this morning. So this is actually the second chronological visit, but the fourth angel visit we're talking about in this series. So if you've missed any of those, take that tutorial and you can catch up on all these just in case you missed any of them. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." So write this down. I'm going to unpack this just for a little bit here. I should always be grateful to be looked at through grace in God's eyes. We should never take that for granted. And just to give you kind of heads up, we're going to be getting little nuggets. They're going to kind of funnel in together a little bit, but they're little nuggets from this story. So there might be something here where one little thing grabs you and it connects with where you're at right now, and that's awesome. So all of God's interactions with people begin with grace. They have to. For God, a perfect being, to be able to speak to us, to work with us, to involve us, every bit of that involves grace. Twice in this short passage that we just read, we are reminded that it's not because of Mary's merit. Sometimes we might read that and say, well, she's highly favored, she earned that. No, that is a word for grace. Mary did not, she was not somehow more deserving than other young women of the time. It was God's grace. We'll reflect on her excellent attitude. She had a servant heart, a humble servant heart, no doubt. We're going to be touching that later. But that's not why she was approached by God. Sometimes we get that a little confused and think, well, maybe it was her merit. And Luke is very clear as he records this account twice in this account. We understand that it was because of grace, nothing more, but definitely nothing less than God's grace. He says, "Greetings to you who are highly favored." The root to that word is the Greek word for grace, which is charis. Let me get my pronunciation here. Keratao is the Greek word that's used there. And it is, the root of that is charis, keratao. And it means to bestow grace on. It has nothing to do with merit or earning something or because she deserved something. She had found favor. She had found grace in God's eyes. It was God's grace that made her worthy of the task and that God was calling her to. Then again, at the very end of the passage we just read, the angel says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And right here, he uses the exact word that's translated many other places as grace, that word charis. Do not be afraid. You have found grace with God. If we're going to translate that like it's translated in so many other areas in the New Testament. So Luke is very clear and sharing with us that it was because of God's grace that he chose Mary. It wasn't a merit thing. It wasn't an earned thing or a deserved thing. And I think sometimes we need to understand that. We need to hear that. And we reflect on Christmas morning and Mary and what she did for the world by bringing in God's child. I want us to start reflecting on the understanding that Mary was just a person, just like any of us. Just like when James talks about Elijah's prayer, he's like, Elijah's just a man, just like any of us. We all have that access to be able to pray to God. And just like Mary, we all have the ability to be called by God to do things. Now, it's what comes next that's up to us and how we respond to that. But we need to remember that all of the beginning of God's interactions with people, they always start with grace. And I think sometimes we skip over that when we're approached by God on different things. And I want us to pause on this Christmas morning and realize that, man, I should be jazzed about that when God comes to me. We shouldn't be taking it for granted that I should always be grateful to be looked at and through the eyes of God's grace, through these contact lenses of grace that God uses when he looks at us. If God is using you, if God is calling you, if you are involved in his kingdom, if you're just a member of his kingdom, we can be reminded that God has looked at us through his eyes of grace, and we should always be grateful for that. The angel continues. He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. Let's write this down, just a simple little reflection. As God's children, it is always with love that he is working with us. Even in the times when we're disciplined, the Hebrews writer says that God disciplines those who he loves. So any interaction we have with God, it starts with his grace, but it's also included in that is his love for us. And in this passage, we see that God's love for all, as Joe shared very clearly in our communion meditation. God loved us, and that's why he sent Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we're here on Christmas morning, because there would be no Christmas if it weren't for Jesus. And so we come together, and if Jesus would have a birthday wish, I'd imagine it would be consistent with the things we read in Scripture, that he would wish that his people would be together in one. Unified. He always loves me. I should always respond in love. Last week, when Zechariah had received the great news that he had received, his first response was not, me? Wow. You know, that would be looking at God, understanding, not taking for granted that he's looking at us through eyes of grace. Or, how can I make this? What can I do to help? What can you know that this response? What was Zechariah's response? It was, how do I know this is real? And we know that the angel hit the mute button, right? And didn't unmute him until his son John the Baptist was born. Jerry just sang a song, a famous modern Christmas song. Almost can't call it modern anymore, can we? And the question in that song, Mary, did you know? Well, yeah, she did. She did know quite a bit. She didn't know all the particulars. But Gabriel tells her that her child will be called the Son of the Most High, that his reign will and his rule will last forever, that his kingdom would never end, that he would be holy and he would be called the Son of God. Mary's question is slightly different than Zechariah's last week. And though it's a slight difference, it's an important one to note. So let's write this down. Mary had questions about the method. She didn't question the message. Mary doesn't question the message. She simply questions, how is this going to take place? What's the method? And she gets an answer. So what's the difference? Because these two questions might seem very similar. Well, Mary accepts the message without question. Her question is, how is this going to happen? She doesn't question that it's going to happen, or that this really is an angelic visit, or that this message is from God. She accepts the message. She accepts the calling that God has given to her. And I think that's very important to note, as minor as it may seem in this comparison. Mary seeks to understand the process. She doesn't seek to understand proof. And I think that's very important for us to note. Now, there are many parallels between these two visits, these two angelic visits that Luke puts side by side. Last week, an angel with a divine message was sent to a man. This week, an angel with a divine message was sent to a woman. God was way ahead of this diversity trend that has gained so much volume. Throughout the New Testament, for sure, even in the Old Testament, when God was focused on the Jews for the purpose of bringing the Messiah, he still showed and shared that he had that he cared for other people groups. And even as we watch the track through the Old Testament, it's not all about men, it's about men and women. It's about all sorts of different people, inside and outside, as they weave into God's plan to bring the Messiah. And then in the New Testament, as things just explode, there's no Jew or Gentile, man or free, man or woman, free nor slave. We're all in Christ. And so God was way ahead of this whole diversity thing. God sent an angel to Mary, just as he sent an angel to Zechariah. Gabriel tells Mary twice that she has found in God's grace. And as we compare that to the angelic visit to Zechariah, God tells Zechariah, your prayers have been heard. They have been answered. So we see that both of those interactions, they start with God's grace. Gabriel tells Zechariah that his son will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And it's kind of interesting when you put them side by side. Gabriel tells Mary that her son's just going to be great. Period. Check it out. It's kind of fun to see that. John the Baptist will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Mary, your son's going to be great. He's just going to be great. It's who he is. He's just great. Zechariah asks, how can I be sure of this? And the angel pushes the mute button. Whereas Mary asks, how will this be since I am a virgin? She questions the method, not the message. And she gets an explanation. We would be wise to pick up on this difference. And when God approaches us, when we have found favor in his eyes, when we are approached by him out of grace and he has called us to something, that we don't ask, how can I be sure of this type of questions? Are you sure, me? No, that we should make sure that we're careful, that we modify that so it's, okay, I'm not going to question the message. I'm just going to ask, how can I be involved? What do you need for me? You see the difference? And I hope that this reflecting on Mary is understanding that we can take our interactions with God a little bit differently after this Christmas Sunday morning. That when he approaches us, our first response is not all anything that's focused on us, but more focused on him and saying, wow, God's paying attention to me. And no matter what how menial the task may seem or how small it may seem that God is calling you to, don't skip that part ever. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, is approaching you. He's laying something on your heart, a mission on your heart. He's laying a dream in your mind. And our first response should be, God's talking to me. That's amazing. And our next step should be understanding that he loves me and he's wanting to involve me in sharing his love with the world. And so my next response should be in love. Not pushing against, but going with. And saying, all right, God, this is crazy. This sounds amazing. What can I do? What's my next step? How can I be involved in this? How is this going to happen? And ask those type of questions and see if you don't get a response. And this leads us, this crazy window, leads us to our very next little verse here in this passage. And I don't know, maybe next year I want to switch versions of the, go to NASB and join Mike over there with, I've just found enough of the new NIV. The old NIV, the 1984 version, has got, I don't know, they had it, if it's not broke, don't fix it, right? And they've done some things, and I keep having, I was just telling my wife the other day, I was like, man, I have to keep correcting. I try to use one consistent version of the Bible so that you can track along with me. But I'm finding myself constantly going, well, the NIV says this, but here are these other things. So the NIV, we're going to look at what the NIV says here in this next verse, verse 37. It says, for no word of God will ever fail, which is not untrue. That's a true statement. However, there's a connection that we miss in the NIV with this this phrasing. We see in the NASB and the New Revised Standard Version that it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. That's how kind of the old NIV used to say. And then, what is it, New King James, I think is the next one, is for with God nothing will be impossible. Very similar, very different. You see? And you're like, what in the world? Why are you so picky? I'm going to tell you why I'm so picky. And just in case some of you guys might want it, here's the Greek version. So there you go. So why is it such a big deal? Because this is a quote from the Septuagint. The Septuagint was the Greek version of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but the Septuagint was a Greek version of the Old Testament. And what we miss in the way that the NIV translates this is that we miss that this is a quote from when God told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby in their old age. Sarah laughed, and then God asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? You need to get your woman in line. And then he says, with God, nothing will be impossible. That's what we read in the Septuagint, in the Greek version. And when you read that and you read here, you see this direct connection. Luke had picked up on the verbiage that the angel used was exactly the verbiage that was used with Abraham and Sarah when they were told they were going to have a child, a miraculous child. So we read it in the Hebrew version of the Old Testament that we read back in the NIV. Is anything too hard for the Lord? With God, nothing is impossible. I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Is anything impossible for the Lord? Let's write this down. When God is involved, the impossible is always possible. How can we not have a Christmas sermon and reflect on the birth of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, and not have some reflection like this? With God, the impossible is always possible. And we don't think that way. We're wired differently, and we need to be careful that we don't default to some of these things that I'm trying to bring up out of the scripture for us all to grow and learn and have a better relationship with God. How will this be? I'm still a virgin, is what Mary says. You know, I bet Gabriel was hoping for that type of question so he could brag on his Lord. Maybe that's why he responded in the way he did to Zachariah's question. Maybe he went into that conversation. He peers to Zachariah in the privacy of the place where he was to light the incense. No one else was inside the temple. It was just him and Zachariah. And he's waiting for this question so he could go, oh man, this is going to be awesome. And Zachariah says, how can I be sure of this? And Gabriel just mute. We'll go to the next one. He goes to Mary, and Mary says, well, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And then that Gabriel's like, oh man, it's going to be awesome. God is going to, you're going to be impregnated by God's Holy Spirit, a supernatural pregnancy. And that child is going to be the Son of God. He's going to be the Holy One. He's the Messiah, the Savior. I just wonder if Gabriel was just so excited to share all of those wonderful things. To share with Mary that message that with God, nothing is impossible. We should never, ever forget that. And it's so easy for us to forget that. Because we live in a natural world with natural consequences. We fall off something high, we hit the ground. That's gravity. We have facts and natural occurrences. I mean, how many great things has God laid on people's hearts that then fell by the wayside because they're thinking, well, that's not possible. And that's as far as it gets. How many amazing dreams has God put into the brains of his children at various times and in various ways? Maybe many of you here this morning where those amazing dreams got dropped and they fell by the wayside because our very first question is, that's not possible. Church, we need to be reminded that with God, nothing is impossible. With God, in fact, it's the opposite, that the impossible is always possible. Because God is involved. Finish our little passage here in verse 38. And here we get Mary's response. Here we get a chance to see Mary's humble, obedient, servant heart. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. God loves us, so we should always respond in love. And loving God involves two things, and it's listening and doing. Let's write this down. Loving God is listening and acting. Loving God is listening to and acting on his leading. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's what will happen. Loving God is listening and doing, listening and acting on his lead, regardless of, and these are some of the things we've already reflected on this morning, regardless of the realm of possibility. Loving God means when he comes to us and he says, hey, I've got this plan for you. I've got this idea for you. I've got this dream I'm laying on your head. I've got this passion I'm laying on your heart. And our first response should just be, this is awesome. God's calling me. God's involving me. God wants me. He's pulling me off the bench. He's putting me in the game. That's our first response. Our second response is, how can I be of assistance? What's the next step? What's the next step? Where do I go? Not how is this going to be? Or how can I be sure of this, rather? Very fine line between those questions. How can I be involved in this? And don't rule it out because it sounds impossible. In fact, sometimes that's the very thing that should give us assurance that it is from God. And say, you know what? With God, all things are possible. Nothing's impossible. In fact, the impossible is often what's possible with God. It's always possible when God's involved. And we respond in love. So regardless of the realm of possibility, regardless of personal credentials or qualifications, I like this quote from the NIV application commentary, one of the ones I use. She brings nothing on her resume other than her availability and willingness to serve. That's cool. Let me read that again. That's too good to just do once. She brings nothing on her resume other than her availability and willingness to serve. You know, you may have heard the expression, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. It would be important to note there is kind of one qualification. It's not a qualification of merit. It's not a qualification where Mary had earned something, but it's the qualification of being willing and available. That's a qualification that's needed to be used by God, to be called by God. Regardless of personal risk, we know from, it would have been our second sermon in the series when we talked about Joseph, that when he found out about her pregnancy, he was going to divorce her. What kind of personal risk was involved for this little, you know, barely teenage girl, if it was in the norm of their society that she was being in that period of engagement, would happen with a really young girl, 12, 13 years of age. And for us nowadays, we're like, what? But that would have been their culture. So she would have been young, very possibly young. Think about her personal risk involved in saying, okay, let's rock and roll, God. She could have lost her husband if Joseph wouldn't have had that visit from the angel, or if he wouldn't have responded to the visit in a positive way. There would have been public disgrace and shame. But she was willing to put that at risk. So what about us? To listen and act on God's leading, regardless of the realm of possibilities, regardless of our personal credentials, where you feel like maybe Moses and say, well, I'm not qualified for this. Etch a sketch that out of your brains. It's not about you. Or personal risk. Taking God up on a challenge of faith or a specific calling always deepens our relationship with him. Even before the message was shared, the angel was reminding Mary that she was not alone. In verse 28 of what we read earlier, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Before she even got the task, the angel prefaced that by saying, "You're not alone in this." Let's write this down. All of our interactions with God are relationship-based. From the initiation to fulfillment of the task at hand. Every interaction we have with God is relationship-based. It's something we can grow closer to him in, or when we're involved in his kingdom, it's involved in loving God and loving others. This next part might be a little tough to hear, so I'm going to ask you just to listen carefully. Because I think the tendency for a statement like this is going to be just to bounce right off some protective wall that we have from some historic connection that we have to this story here with Mary. So I want you to do all your best to drop that wall and just absorb it in. If you want to reject it later, reject it later. I don't think you will. All right, here you go. You ready? The focus of this account is not on Mary. The focus of this account is on God and his power. It's difficult to hear that because we've looked at this so much in the history of us hearing the Christmas story. And we've looked at Mary's servant heart and her humility and her willingness and her availability, which are all present for sure. But make no mistake about it, this story is not Mary's story, it's God's story. Mary is just part of it. And we elevate her sometimes when she was a person that had found grace in God's eyes, and God approached her, there would have been many eligible young ladies at that time that would have still been virgins, that would have been true and honorable young ladies. God decided in his grace to choose her for whatever reason he did, and whatever reason he's chosen you for, whatever he's chosen you for. It's out of his grace. It's not because you've earned it or you deserve it or because you're super talented or super amazing. No, let's listen. Because when we think this story is all about Mary, I think that comes from our tendency to think that our stories are about us. Our story is God's story, and we're just involved in it. It's not our story. It wasn't Mary's story. Mary was just involved in it. She found grace in God's eyes, and God gave her a task, an amazing task, and she was willing. Give her that. We need to learn from that part. But I don't want us to leave here on Christmas morning and think we heard a great story about Mary. We heard a story about God, and Mary was involved. And see, what that does is that opens the door for all of us to say, you know what? I'm just like Mary. It's God's story. I'm just a person. And the cool thing about that is that God wants to involve every single one of us in his story. He's chosen you. He's gifted you. He's given you talents. Your talents haven't earned you the right to things. He's given you talents. In fact, that goes back to that word charis. Our gifts that we've been given, our Holy Spirit gifts, they're charismatic gifts. They're grace-given gifts. And all of this is relational. God spoke to Mary through an angel. Let me assure you, church, God still speaks today. Let's write this down. God still speaks to his people today through his Holy Spirit living inside of us and through Scripture. I should always be grateful when I realize that I'm being looked at through God's grace-filled eyes. That he always loves me, and I should always respond in love. And that I might be all right to question the method, but I should never question God's message to me. When God is involved, I should remember that the impossible is always possible. That loving God is listening to and acting on his leading, regardless of the realm of possibility or my personal qualifications or personal risk. That all of our interactions with God are relationship-based, from the initiation to the fulfillment of the task. And church, God speaking is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. He still speaks today. Let's frame and shape our response based on the great example we see in Mary, but understanding that God is simply calling us into his story. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the way that you let us be part of your story. Time and time again throughout the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments, we see your preference is to use people, that they would have the excitement, that they would have the adventure to be called through your grace-filled eyes with a task, with a message that's impossible, so that we would be able to see that it's only made possible because you are involved. Father, I pray as we reflect on this Christmas morning, we thank you so much for the gift of your son, Jesus. But that in our reflection of the birth of your son, that we would be drawn closer to you, that we would be more receptive to your individual messages to us, the things that you lay on our heart, the things that you put inside of our brain, that as we turn the corner from 2022 into 2023, that we would be more receptive. That we would be more excited. Thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your story and giving us each a message of grace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.